joy to be back in the meeting tonight, and I trust that you've had a good day. This is mountain weather. This is what I'm used to, and so I'm glad God's blessed me, and I've not had to sweat myself to death this week. I was kind of dreading the heat down here. When you're from the mountains and you've got to come down here, it's a little bit different adjustment, and so we're glad that the Lord has given us the weather. We'd been thankful if it'd been hot anyway, though, so anyway, whatever the Lord chooses to give us, He knows better than we do, and I appreciate the Lord. It's been a joy for me these nights of preaching, and I trust that you've been helped and blessed by the Word of God, and I believe it will help us and encourage us. We need meetings like this in these days. As the preacher said, this is normal. And I appreciate the Lord, and He said, everybody don't shout. I know some folks that I've never seen them shout in my church, but they always happy when somebody else does. And so, you know, you may not shout, but just get in there and grin real big when somebody else does. And encourage their hold up their hands a little bit. And I was in a meeting many years ago. I was preaching in North Carolina. Pretty good church, and had a pretty good crowd, about 150 people there that night. And I was getting some amens along, and you know, I kind of like that. Most preachers do. And all of a sudden, a fellow took a shouting spell, and I'm talking about he was in the glory. And I was preaching, and it kind of startled me, and I got to looking over the crowd to see where he was sitting, and I couldn't spot him in the crowd, so I just kept preaching. A few minutes, he struck up again, and man, he was having the best time you ever heard in your life. And I never could spot him, though, in the crowd. The crowd pretty good size, so I just kept on preaching, finished out that night, and after the service, I was talking to the pastor. I said, "Preacher, thank you for letting me come," and I said, "But I've got one question I need to ask." I said, "That man that had the best time tonight while I was preaching," I said, "he shouted two or three different times while I was preaching. He was in the glory." I said, "Where was he sitting?" The old boy, he just kind of reared back and grabbed his coat like this. And he said, "Well, preacher, just to be honest with you, he wasn't here." I said, "What do you mean he wasn't here? I heard him shout three times while I was preaching." He said, "No," he said, "I've got that on CD," and he said, "every time you'd say something I liked, I'd nod my head at the sound man, and he'd hit play." Honest, I'm being honest with you tonight. I mean, that literally happened. And that is a good idea. And I think they ought to rig up a button on the pulpit so that you could push it anytime you needed it. Praise the Lord. I said, "If that's the only way we can get some shouting, get a copy of the CD, plug it in Sunday, and let's go to church." Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. Amen. That'll work. That'll even work on amens. Praise the Lord. But anyway, when you hang around Baptists, you can get in some strange situations. I'll be honest with you. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate His goodness. I appreciate that youth choir tonight. What a blessing. And I got a double blessing tonight when they began to sing "It's Under the Blood." I don't know if any of them, I've never met any of them. I know Brother Burton's name as far as ever meeting him. I don't think I've ever met him. I've never met any of these young people. But I don't even know if any of them know that I wrote that song a few years ago. And God has used it among young people like I never imagined. And I appreciated that. It's a great blessing. The greatest blessing that a songwriter can ever get is to hear somebody else sing his song. And that blessed my heart tonight, preacher. Thank y'all for singing that. And I tell when they ask me about that, and of course it's being used a lot in youth meetings, and matter of fact, Brother Mike Holcomb has recorded it and sent it out on radio nationwide, and I have people ask me about it, and I tell them, I said, it's really a sequel song that I wrote to the song "I'm Not Ashamed." I wrote that 26 years ago, and it came out of the same experience as the song "I'm Not Ashamed." And that song, as it starts out, there was a day I was walking by, I was by a place and walking down memory lane. And the old enemy came by and said, "You remember, I remember when you was there, and I remember when you weren't what you are today." And he began to try to bring me low that day. He brought up all the thoughts of hurt and pain when I'd gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. And I thought about that. I said that day, I said, "You're right, devil. You're right about all of that." But I said, "There's only one thing I can say to you. It's under the blood." And I'm glad that it is. I'm glad that it is. Praise the Lord. I'm glad it is. You see, God didn't like a lot of Baptist folk. Once he puts it under the blood, he don't go fishing for it anymore. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that it is. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Psalm chapter 74, and I want to give you just a thought, and I hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 74. And I want to read a few verses, and I'll give you the simple thought tonight. Psalm 74, and if you read this psalm, it is a psalm speaking concerning the desolation of the temple, of the sanctuary, what the enemy had done, and pleading for God to help his people. And here in the Word of God, the Bible says in verse number 1, "O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary, and they have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd enable us tonight as we stand in this place, Lord, to bring the message that you have laid upon our hearts. Lord, encourage every child of God that's here tonight. And Lord, I pray specifically tonight for every servant of the Lord, every man of God that's in this place, and every work that is represented here tonight. God, would you help us? Would you give us encouragement? Lord, I pray for every young preacher that's in this tabernacle tonight. God, would you speak to their heart tonight and help us through your word? And God, we're going to give you praise for all you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the psalmist begins talking about the desolation and all that the enemy has done to the temple. And he makes a statement that said they brought it down to the ground. Matter of fact, he talked about that, said, "God, how long are you going to wait? God, we need you to help us." He said, "They have taken your signs, they've taken their ensigns, their things, their religious symbols, and they have made them yours. They've tried to make them yours," and said they have they've made desolate the house of God. But I really want to look at this. I was reading this one day and a verse popped out to me. Matter of fact, two verses. And I want to read those verses at verse 5 and 6 again. And this is the thought for the message. "A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers." Here in the Word of God, the psalmist is alluding to two different groups of people. In verse number 5, there was a group of men, the Bible said, and the Bible declared them famous. Now, I know a lot of people who think they're famous, but you ain't really famous unless God says you're famous. And if God says you're famous, you're famous.
And the Bible said they were men that had lifted up axes against the thick trees, talking about those who had cut down the cedars of Lebanon that had built the temple of God. And here in verse 6, he talks about another group. This is the group that had torn down the work of God. They had come, and of course, and brought desolation to the temple. The Bible said they used axes and hammers, and they were tearing down and destroying what those of previous days had built. I believe we're living in a day where we're seeing that in the culture that we live in today. There are many that are attempting to tear down that those that came before us built up. There are those who would try to destroy our heritage. There are those who would reject our mode of worship and what we stand for. That contemporary crowd, they've got their axes and their hammers, and all they do is hammer against us folks that believe in the old-fashioned way. That's all they do. That's the only message they have. And they spend most of their time criticizing those that came before them and disparaging what they did. But can I say to you, I thank God that there's a crowd that don't spend all their time trying to tear down the work of God, but they spend their time trying to build up the work of God. I begin to think about that thought, and I'm preaching on this subject on being famous for lifting the axe. Now, if you study the Word of God, if you understand what it was for those men to build the temple. Matter of fact, when Solomon got it in his heart to build the house of God, the king of Tyrus, Sidon, Hiram, he sent a letter to Hiram and he said, "Listen, we're going to need some help. I know you've got men that are skilled in this area in cutting wood," and said, "God has placed it in my heart." And the Bible said they came together and they worked together. And the Bible, if you study about that, it was quite an undertaking just to get the trees from the mountain ranges of Lebanon. They had to be brought down off of the mountain. They had to be taken down, I believe it was, to Joppa. And they were shipped by sea to Jerusalem. And the fact of the matter is, quite an undertaking. But here in the Word of God, the Bible declares that these men, in the initial work of building the temple, before there was ever a temple with any gold ornaments, and before there was ever a place where the presence of God would settle in, there was a fella up on the side of a hill with an axe. And the Bible said they began to cut down those trees, and they engaged in the work of God. Matter of fact, I brought an axe with me tonight, and as cold as it is, we may have to cut some firewood. I brought my axe with me. This one has never been used for anything but preaching. But anyway, I begin to think about those men as they engaged in the work of God. Now, it's a good work, fellows. Don't let the devil try to convince you otherwise. Those men that engaged in that work were men that were honored by God. Can I say to you, I began to think about this. I was reading something in a commentary. I believe Wesley wrote about this. He said the work of building the house of God was such a noble work that even those employed in it, and he used the old English word, the meanest of jobs in that endeavor, he said, were regarded in high honor by God. It didn't matter how little you were doing or what it seemed like in your eyes. You see, God thought a whole lot of it. Amen. There's probably preachers in this tabernacle tonight. You don't think you're doing much for God. You don't think you've done much for God. And you feel like it's very little that you've accomplished since you've been trying to lift the axe. But you see, God views that a whole lot differently many times than you do it. There's not a one of those men that started out and picked up his axe and said, "You know what, I'm going to be famous one day for lifting this axe." He didn't leave the house that morning heading up to the mountain range or bragging to the young'uns, "Now you just wait, your daddy's going to make a name for himself up on the ridge." No, he did not do that. He wasn't even thinking about the fact that he would make a name for himself. But can I say to you, those who were faithful in lifting the axe. You better believe, praise God, there's a God in heaven, there's a God in glory that honors your work. Hallelujah to His name. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I begin to think about that. Why would God say that these men were famous? Now, the Bible does not call any of their names. Matter of fact, they're a nameless crew. But they went to the mountain ranges of Lebanon and they started the process of building a house for God. And the Bible said they became famous. They were according as they had lifted up the axe. Can I say to you, if you're going to lift up the axe, young preacher, hear me today. If you're going to lift up the axe, you know why these men became famous? Because they were famous for the hard work that they engaged in. I hate to break the news to you. We're the generation, we're used to steel chainsaws and we're used to all the conveniences and things to make things easier. But those fellas did not have a steel chainsaw. They did not have anything to make it easier on them. They simply had the axe that they had sharpened up real good and they had the skill in handling it. I thought about those trees, those cedars of Lebanon. You could actually preach a whole series of messages just on the character and the qualities of those trees. Some of those trees could grow as high as 120 feet tall. I'm talking about huge trees. And can you imagine the thick stand of those trees? Now, I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm so weak and puny. If you told me to go out here and cut down a sapling, it'd wear me down. But can you imagine those men as they went up there on the mountain and those thick stands of cedars and they began to chop away? Let me tell you something right now. Thank God for some men that will not shy away when the work gets hard. If you're going to be in ministry, it is hard. It's not easy. And I know the world says, oh, I wish I was like my preacher. He works three times a week, Sunday morning for 30 minutes, Sunday night for 30 minutes, and Wednesday night for 30 minutes. If you believe that, you're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. I'll never forget when I went full time at the church. I'd worked for many years in the supermarket business and finally got to the point I had to go full time. Even though they couldn't pay me full time, I had to do it. And you know what? I started out, and I'll never forget that first time somebody came up to me and they asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm pastoring the church now. And they said, the fellow looked at me and said, so you don't work? That's what he said. I felt like whooping him in the name of Jesus when he said that. I thought to myself, I said, it ain't worth it. I said, you know what, a bulldog can whoop a skunk, but it ain't worth the stink. Amen? But can I say to you, praise God, let me tell you something right now. I got news for you. If any man desire the office of a bishop, the Bible said he desires a good work. Those men on the mountain ranges knew what it was to have calluses on their hands. They knew what it was to come in at night and their bodies weary because they'd been there laboring in the work of the Lord. Can I say to you, the work of the man of God is not like many vocations, but many times it is very taxing physically, mentally, emotionally, every way you can be taxed, the man of God is. That's why you ought to pray for the man of God. That's why you ought to pray for your preacher. That's why you ought to encourage him and hold up his hand, because he's engaged in a hard work. Amen. Them fellas chopping down trees on the mountain, it's hard work. Don't let nobody tell you different. Amen. Amen. Not only was it a hard work, but many times it was work done in harsh conditions. On the mountain ranges there, I was looking on the internet the other day. There's a website I found that showed pictures of the mountain range there in Lebanon. And it showed some stands of those trees that are still there today. And on the top of that mountain, there was snow on the ground. I said there's a possibility that those men labored in a cold climate. Can I say to you today, if you're going to be in the ministry today, you better get ready. You're going to have to do a lot of lifting the axe when it's cold where you're at. Amen. I wish it's always easy. I wish that they'd always shout. Sometimes you're just happy if they'll stay awake while you're preaching. But that don't change the fact you just need to keep lifting the axe. Amen. Whether that crowd likes it or not, just keep lifting the axe. Whether it's harsh conditions or not, just keep lifting the axe. Amen. You see, mountain living ain't always easy. I know I live in the mountains. This past winter, we had a brutal winter. I'm talking about one morning I went out. It was 10 below zero. I said 10 below zero. Zero's bad, but I found out 10 below's worse. I've got an old Chevrolet pickup, 2000 model, four-wheel drive. You got to have that in the mountains. And I went out to start that thing, and when I started it, it sounded like 9 cats hung in the fan belt. I mean, it sounded like every rod, everything in that thing was going to blow through the hood. I went to pray, oh, Jesus, help it. Hallelujah. Can I say to you, praise God, it's not always easy. And the climate we've got today, you young preachers need to understand, they ain't always going to be cheering you on. They're not always going to be patting you on the back. But let me tell you something, it's a work worthy of laboring in. Hallelujah. Just stay in the fight. Just keep lifting the axe and do God's will. Amen. See, those who lifted axe engaged in a hard work, and it was many times in a harsh climate, but their work also had a hidden element to it, in that they didn't, a lot of people go to the top of the mountain to watch them work. Matter of fact, they didn't have cheerleading sections there while there's a chop and said, you boys are doing a good job, keep it up. No, there wasn't a lot of folks cheering them on while they was doing it. Matter of fact, they labored in loneliness. The only comfort they had was their fellow choppers, because they could identify with what they were going through. Sometimes the only person in the building that can identify with a man of God is another man of God. So that's why I like to preach, try to help preachers, because I love them. I know them like the back of my hand. I know what they go through. I know what they're facing. I know the difficulties. I know the joys. I know all of it. And let me tell you something right now. Sometimes the loneliest place occupied at the house of God is in the shoes of God's man. There are places that he trods that eventually even his helpmate cannot even go. There are times, even as much as they'll try to help them, there'll be some path you'll have to trod that even that helpmate won't understand. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, there's a God that'll give you strength, and He'll help you in the darkest days that you'll face. Amen. I'm glad you just keep lifting the axe and do God's will. It was a hidden work. Nobody saw it up there on the mountain. They just seen them dragging logs down off of the hill. But can I say to you, praise God, sometimes those things you're doing behind the scenes that nobody ever sees, you just keep a doing them, praise God, because there's a God in glory that's keeping good records, and He's a writing it all down. Hallelujah. And He sees everything you're doing. Amen. I tell young preachers, don't shy away from that hard work, and don't always look for the spotlight. You see, when I was a young preacher, before I was ever a pastor, before I'd ever really written any songs, anything like that, all I said was, God, I would just want to work in your work, and if that's just to help my preacher, that's what I'm going to do. And I never had to have my preacher tell me to do anything. Matter of fact, when I was in the church and I found out somebody's in the hospital, I said, I'm a preacher in this church, and it's my obligation to go see him. I know I ain't the pastor, but I know he'll go to see him, but it's my obligation as a man of God to try to hold up his hands and help him. And I'd go do stuff like that. A lot of times people look and they say, oh, Preacher Fletcher, he pastors a good church and he preaches meetings every week and always a songwriter and all this and that. They should have been there in those days when nobody didn't know my name, when I was out there chopping all by myself, just doing what God put in my heart to do. Can I say to you, praise God, don't worry about the spotlight. Don't worry about the limelight. If you stay faithful to God, God will bring you to the place that you need to. Hallelujah to His name. I see a lot of young preachers, they're waiting on a big church to call. They don't want to chop a tree up on the mountain when they ain't but just a handful up there. They're waiting to chop a tree down there in town with a whole big crowd of watching. Amen. Can I say to you, probably to this day still, and I've preached to some pretty good sized crowds, probably the biggest crowd I ever preached to was not in a church. Matter of fact, it was at Freedom Hall Civic Center in Johnson City, Tennessee, at an AC/DC concert. Now that's not for the faint of heart. Trust me, if you think that's for the faint of heart, me and two other preacher boys got the bright idea. They're having a rock concert down there. There'll be several thousand people there. And they all need Jesus. Even them church members that's there. Oh, you're badly mistaken if you think there wasn't no church members in that crowd that night. There's some church folk there. Amen. And what gets me is a group that sings, "I'm on the highway to hell," and folks in the church going down there to hear them. God help us. But we got there that night. And I'll be honest with you, the butterflies was in my stomach. Here we are in that crowd, and they hadn't unlocked the doors yet. They're lined up waiting. I mean, that crowd's a screaming and a hollering. I mean, half of them intoxicated. And here we are with Bibles under our arms. And I'm sitting in the car. I'm saying, "You reckon this is a good idea?" I'll tell you one thing right now. I'd made me a sign on a piece of poster board that said, "Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready?" And I was just walking through that crowd. All of a sudden, I came up on a whole crowd that was standing there waiting to get in. And I just held up my Bible and I began to preach. I began to tell them about a Savior. I said, "This group sings about being on the highway to hell. But I can tell you tonight how you can get on the highway to heaven. Praise God." And let me tell you something right now. There's a boldness came on me that night. And God helped me that night. And I'll tell you what. Sometimes people says, "Oh, you've got the limelight now. You get to preach in a lot of good places." Yeah, but before I ever did that, I was lifting an axe when there wasn't nobody else around. Hallelujah. I got news for you. If you're willing to do what nobody else will do, God will put you where nobody else can go. Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God, He's a good God. Just keep lifting the axe. It's a hidden work. I mean, it's a lot of times people says, how you write them songs? I have no idea. I'm being honest when I say that. There's times when I've pinned down some of those songs and I listen to someone sing them and I'm as clueless as you are on how in the world I did that. All I know is this, I was lifting the axe. See, we started out singing, my little old family. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, there's a lot of group sings, but some of them got songwriters in the group and they can write their own music. I said, reckon I ought to give it a try. And I just started trying to write a few. And I said, you know what? If nobody else don't sing them, I will. And I found this out. If you're doing something worth anything, just keep lifting the axe and pretty soon somebody else will notice that it's pretty good. And the next thing you know, there'll be some people you don't even know get up and sing or do something that you had a part in. Hallelujah. And it's all because you're faithful to lift the axe. You're faithful to keep doing what God wanted you to do. I don't know about you, but thank God. Listen, it's an honorable work. It's a hidden work. But lifting the axe is only half the work. What do you mean by that, preacher? This axe has two parts to it. It's got the handle and it's got the head. The handle is the part that I touch. It's the part that I come in contact with. But you see, the head is actually the power to cut down the tree. Now, I read over in the Word of God over there in the book of Kings where Elisha one day and the sons of the prophets are out there and they're building a place and they're chopping down trees and one of them's cutting and the axe head gets loose and he makes a swing and it goes into the river. He cries out, he said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." I got news for you. Every bit of ability that you've ever had to do anything in the work of God is not yours, but it's simply borrowed. Anything God's ever given you, it's borrowed. Only thing I can do, listen, without the head, all I have is got a stick and all I can do is whack on a tree and make noise. That's what a lot are doing in these days. They're whacking and they're chopping and they ain't never hearing nobody holler timber because the head ain't where it needs to be. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, the power of God is what it takes to get the work done. Hey, listen, we're limited in our ability. We can grab our handle and we can handle it all we want to, but without the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, all is in vain. Hallelujah. I thought about them fellas up there cutting trees. That fellow's out there, and we saw that axe head. This is what he cried out. He said, it's borrowed. And Elisha come running over there, and he said, well, tell you what, let's do them. We'll cut down a stick, throw it in the water. And the Bible said this. The Bible said that the iron did swim. Now, it would have been a miracle if the iron had floated. It would be a miracle if an axe head floated to the top of the water. But you see, if it had only floated to the top of the water, it had still been out there where he couldn't get it. And the current might have even taken it farther away from him. But you see, the Bible said that the iron did swim. Matter of fact, that old boy's standing on the bank and he's worried about, he said, I got my stick, but I ain't got the edge that I used to have. I just don't have the power that I one time did. And all of a sudden that old axe head come to the surface of the water, and all of a sudden that thing started just swimming toward the bank. And I could see him as he's standing there, and that thing swims right up to where he's at, and Elisha says, go ahead and take it up now. Aren't you glad? I'm glad whenever we've lost the power and it seemed like we're ineffective in the ministry, I'm glad God will bring it right back to where you lost it. Amen. And I'm glad He'll help you by the grace of Almighty God. See, lifting the axe is only half of the work. Do you realize lifting the axe was humble work? The Bible said these men were famous according as they had lifted up axes. Not a one of them lifted up themselves. Young preachers, listen to me. Be very careful, because you are treading in territories that no previous generation of young preachers has ever trod in. Through the ability of social media and the worldwide internet today, you have a greater possibility of promoting yourself than you've ever had in history. Matter of fact, you can create a persona online and everybody gonna think you are the bee's knees. But you see, sometimes everything you see on the internet ain't exactly accurate. Matter of fact, some of you preachers, you need to quit worrying about all them posts on Facebook, because every church, when they come home, they get in there and talk about how the glory fell, and it just, you ain't never seen nothing like it, and there you was sitting with your dead little crowd and nothing happened, and you're wondering, what in the world am I doing wrong? Sometimes the altar's feeling as that fellow got up and went to the bathroom while they was giving the invitation. Some preachers will count anything, because they're looking for notches on the belt. Amen. Amen. I've seen churches where the same people got saved every year. Something wrong with that. Every now and then we ought to get a new one saved, instead of the old ones getting recycled every year. Praise God. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, don't worry about lifting yourself up. You just get hungry for God. You find somebody knows how to pray and learn how to pray. And I promise you this, there'll be a day when God will put you where He wants to put you. Hallelujah to His name. Don't worry about making a name for yourself. Just keep lifting the axe. See, those that lifted the axe up on the hill there, they were up there, they were humble men. They wasn't up there lifting up anything but the power of God. Can I say to you today, there's none of us in ourselves have anything to brag about. That verse of that song says, my righteousness is filthy rags, and I meant that the day I wrote that. The best I can be is filthy in the sight of God. My goodness is even unclean. But praise God, I'm glad there's one thing I can say that hits under the blood. Lifting the axe was work that made a mark on history. You know why we're talking about these fellers tonight? They left an impact because the Bible that you carry said they were famous. What was they famous for? Lifting the axe. Finding their place in the work. And being faithful and consistent and steady at doing what God... I've seen them come and go down through the years. You see somebody, man, they start out like a house of fire, and the next thing you know, they've done flamed out. I've seen people come through the church doors, and you'd think John the Baptist had resurrected, and they told you God sent them there to help you. And then a few weeks, you look around and say, which way did they go? Y'all have had some of them too, praise the Lord. Amen. But can I say to you, I like that crowd that's just faithful to lift the axe. I can imagine some of them boys come home of night. Wife said, honey, how was it up there on the mountain today? I said, well, we cut down several today. It's a hard day, though. She thinks. She says, you reckon what you're doing is worth anything? How many times does the devil ask you, preacher, if what you're doing is worth anything? And he only asks you that when you're so tired that you can't hardly hold your head up. When you're weary from the battle and the struggle, it's then that he climbs in the car with you, or he climbs in your study and says, you reckon what you're doing's worth anything? You reckon you're doing any good for anybody? I got news for you. That little boy, he probably said, you know, sometimes I wonder if we're doing any good. But they tell me that Solomon got a burden. His daddy David had the burden. God wouldn't let him do it. But yeah, we're doing something. We're making a mark on history. We're going to build a house for the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I say to you, every one of you, you may not be a preacher, you may not be a laborer in that respect, but everybody that's a member of a local church, we are laborers together. And with your help in the local church, you're leaving a mark on the history of that church. See, I've often said this, every group of people, we all have a shelf life. What do you mean by that, preacher? We all going to die sometime or another. And as a pastor, when you're in one place a long time, you see a transition of some of the older saints graduating on, and you see a younger group coming up. And I want to be that crowd that don't let down my leg of the journey. I know some of them old men of God that's in heaven now, preacher. Matter of fact, I was thinking about one of them men that he was famous for lifting the axe. He was a little old preacher. Matter of fact, I was a pallbearer at his funeral up home. Pastored the same little old country church up on the mountain where nobody don't want to go. I mean, I'm talking about way up on the mountain. Pastored it 54 years. Little old congregation, 54 years. Never had his picture on the front page of the Sword of the Lord. And I'm not criticizing those who do get that. He didn't have a lot of the accolades that a lot of the brethren might laud upon you. But he was just an humble Brother Orville Wallace. I don't know if you ever knew him, Brother Phillips. Brother Orville, he was a kind, gentle, godly man. And for 54 years, he lifted up the axe. And even at his funeral, there wasn't a large crowd there because he labored in isolation. He labored in a place there wasn't nobody else up there. And when it come time to bury, and just had a few preacher friends, But I thought to myself, I said, this is a greater honor than if they asked me to be a pallbearer for the President of the United States. I said, thank God for a servant that wasn't looking for a spotlight. He wasn't looking for anything else, but he found his place and he lifted up his axe and he stayed faithful in the work of God. And I promise you this, he may not been famous here, but I have a feeling when he made the crossing over there, one of them big angels stood up and said, here comes Brother Orville Wallace. Hallelujah! Famous for lifting the axe. Amen. I don't know about you. If I got to be known for anything, and I these days, let me give you another piece of advice, young preacher. Every one of you want everybody to know your name. But can I say to you, and I speak from experience, that sometimes I wish nobody didn't know my name. Because sometimes the more you're known, the greater the battles, greater the enemies. I preached a message one time, you need to listen to this for your preacher, on the burden of bearing the bullseye. I said, if you're in the work of God, you got a bullseye on you. The enemy is doing his best to try to take you down. And I said, sometimes the weight of that bullseye gets heavy. But I'm glad by the grace of God we can stay true to the work of God and just keep lifting the axe. A man was famous according as he had lifted up the axe against the thick trees. That's another thing. I'll give you this and I'm done. It was thick trees. You know, if we're not careful in this easy, watered-down church culture today, the only trees we'll attempt to get is little saplings. Now, they need to be got. And I thank God for all of our focus on youth. I appreciate that in these days. But can I say to you, I wonder where the preacher is that's going to try to lift up the axe against that crusty old tree that everybody's done give up on. He's got gray hair now. He ain't wanted nothing to do with it for a long time. But I wonder where the preacher is that's going to get a burden for that old man or that elderly lady or somebody that don't know Jesus in their waning years. You see, it might be that it takes some power to get them in. I've got a little old fellow in my church. He was nearly, he's 70, I think he was 70. 76 years old. He was not saved, and they invited him to come to church. Mr. Barnes is his name. And the fellow that invited him told me, said, preacher, this fellow moved here from up north. He's kind of salty in his language. Said, I don't know what he'll say to you, but I've invited him to come, and he said he'd come. And so I was expecting anything, and he came in that day, and I introduced myself. I said, Mr. Barnes, it's good to have you. He just kind of nodded his head, shook my hand, went and took a seat. I thought, man, he's a hard old character. I was preaching that day, and I was kind of watching to see if anything was happening, and there wasn't no expression on his face. And just sat there, and after service was over, I went and shook hands. I said, Mr. Barnes, thank you for coming. He said, I may be back. I said, all right. Look back, and the next service, he's back there again. Sitting there, no response to the preaching, just sitting there, just a stoic look on his face. And I thought, well, God, if you're doing anything, I can't see it. And I was preaching, after service over, I said, Mr. Barnes, thank you for coming today. He said, I might want to talk to you sometime about some things. I said, well, I'd be happy to if I can help you, Mr. Barnes. He said, I'll let you know. All right. Listen, you better be careful of them elderly folks. They'll let you know. Don't crowd them. He just kept a coming. And I'll never forget the Sunday morning. I was preaching over about Noah and the ark. And I preached a message entitled, The Tragedy of Missing the Boat. And that morning I preached and the power of God was in that place. I was about halfway through the message, And all of a sudden, Mr. Barnes, I look back and tears are streaming down both cheeks. 70-some-year-old man. And he gets up while I'm preaching in front of a crowd of about 200 people, walks down the side, comes around the front, and meets me right in front of the communion table. And I'm still preaching. And he just stops right there. And I just stopped preaching. And I looked at him. I said, "Mr. Barnes, what is it? What do you need?" And in front of that whole crowd, he declared loudly, "Brother Leonard, I need to be saved." I said, "You've come to the right place." My old daddy that's in heaven got down on the altar and he told him, he said, "Mr. Barnes, just the best way you know how, tell the Lord that you're a sinner. And just, if you'll ask Him into your heart, He'll save you." And that old gentleman didn't know nothing about praying. He got down like a little old youngin on his knees and he put his hands together. I could hear him and he was a praying. He said, "Lord, I've been a mean old man. And God, I sure have done a lot of bad things in my life. But if you'll have me, I'd like to have you." And that day, Mr. Barnes got saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hey, he was an old tree. He was a crusty old tree. But I'm glad, praise God, the day the Holy Ghost hollered timber. Hallelujah. And he got saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. I'm glad God's able. Now he's one of them spark plugs in the church. When he testifies, it lifts the whole service. When he gets happy, you might as well forget it. Everybody in the building be crying. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what you get when you get some of them old crusty ones. When God breaks that old hard heart that's been hard for years. And the next thing you know, He just tenders them up real good. And all them little old youngins are looking at that old man and praising God. I'll tell you one, thank God. It's all because somebody willing to lift the axe and do God's will. Amen. I want to ask you today, servant of the Lord, do you get weary lifting the axe? There are days you do. I know this message has primarily been to the preachers, but it's actually been to all of you. Because how many of you here has got a preacher? Well, this message has been to you too. I want to do this, and this is a little different for the invitation tonight, but I want to ask all the men that have been in the ministry 40 plus years to come up here and stand with me. You've been in the ministry 40 plus years. I want to ask you, do we have any? I knew, probably had two right here. 40 plus years. Have we got any other preachers that's been in the ministry 40 plus years? These old boys have been lifting the axe a while. They've labored. A lot of the work's been hidden. A lot of things folks didn't see. A lot of things folks, they didn't understand. But they stayed faithful to what God. And by the way, now, starting out, I don't know what y'all did before you were preachers. Preacher, what did you do? Did you do anything?
I did a lot.
You did a lot. Don't tell the bad stuff. Construction work. What'd you do, Brother Phil? Cotton mill. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, had neither one of them ever surrendered the call to preach, that people had been talking about that famous feller that worked at the cotton mill down there? Or that famous construction worker? No. But the fact is, now when you go a lot of places, people know the name Andrew Kerrigan, and they know the name Clifford Phillips. And it wasn't because they're good builders in construction or that they're good at working at the cotton mill, but it's because they surrendered everything in their life to God, gave it to Him lock, stock, and barrel, and stayed faithful to the work of God. Hallelujah. I want to ask all the preachers that's had 20 plus years in the ministry. If you've been in the ministry 20 years or more, do we have any that's been that long in the ministry? All right, come on up here. I want you to come up here and stand. I don't have 40 plus years. I've been in one place pastoring 21 years. I've got about 25 years in the ministry.
But here's two men that have been 20 plus years in the ministry. They've lifted the axe a few times. They've been discouraged a few times. They've been through some battles in 20 years of ministry. But thank God for those men who have stayed faithful to lifting the axe. I want to ask all the preachers that's got 10 years in the ministry. If you've been in the ministry 10 years, do we have anybody that's been 10 years? Brother Burton back here, God bless you. These men, 10 years. These are young whippersnappers. They're just getting started, 10 years. 10 years. They're just getting started. They've not had enough time even to make a lot of folks mad yet. I mean, they're just getting started. Some of these are still on the honeymoon. Some of them are shaking their head. No, no. We done made a whole bunch of people mad. 10 years in the ministry. But these men are following in the path of these men. And we all, when we get to heaven, it's not about our name, because those men I preached about tonight, I don't know none of them's name. But they were all a part of that group that lifted the axe. One of these days when we get to glory shore, it's not going to be about us, but it's going to be about the one that saved us, and the one that called us, and the one that equipped us, and the one that enabled us, and the one that blessed us, and the one that encouraged us. It'll be about Him. Hallelujah. It'll be about Him. Praise God. I want to ask you, how many young preachers do we have here tonight that you just maybe just started out, or you've got even less than 10 years in the ministry? I want you to come up here and stand with us. Amen. Praise God. Less than 10 years. I want you to look at this crop of less than 10 years. I want you to look at this crop of less than 10 years. Less than 10 years. Less than 10 years. I want you to look how the crowd's multiplied now. You see, when I was talking about them 40 plus years, that crowd's are getting thin. Some of your contemporaries are already in heaven. Many of them to the place now that they can't preach, they can't visit, they can't do what they one time did. But you see, God, as long as He's got a church here, He's going to have servants to feed it and care for it. Hallelujah to His name. I don't know about you, but it blesses my heart tonight to look across this tabernacle and see that down here in the camp meeting near Union, South Carolina, that God has raised up men of God. Not only those who've been in the way, that's shown the way, He's got another tier that's coming on. And beyond that, He's got another tier. He's got some young men. He's got some young boys that right now, they're just young boys. But let me tell you something right now, hanging out in camp meetings like this will mess you up for the rest of your life. If time goes on and the Lord doesn't return for us in another 40 years, one of these young boys might be standing up here holding an axe and says, "Is any young preachers in the place?" I'm glad, praise God, that the work of God's going to go on. I thank God for His servants. I thank God for the preacher. Hallelujah to His name. All famous. For that's the only thing you're just good for, boys, lifting the axe. I've often said God calls a man to preach because he ain't fit for nothing else. That may not be true. I said that. Everything I say ain't exactly accurate unless it's out of the book. And if it's out of the book, it's accurate. But can I say to you, I thank God for these men. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight"? Maybe God's given you a burden for your preacher. Maybe your pastor's up here, your preacher. It could be your son's up here, your grandson's up here. Maybe your grandpa's up here. I wonder tonight how many of you have a burden now to say, "Preacher, I want to do my best to encourage those that are lifting up the axe." I want to ask you as we stand to our feet, brother, get a song. Where's the brother? He's Dublin. He's not only the preacher, us preachers that sing and preach too, we get worked like a rented mule. And he's got to cover that too. But I want you to do this. This is the way I'm going to turn this thing over. If you want to come by here, shake some of these men's hand. If you want to tell them you appreciate them. If you want to just come by and say, I'm praying for you. Just pass by and let them know that you're praying for them. I believe that'd be pleasing to God tonight. Say, they ain't famous for nothing. They may not be in your eyes, but they are in God's eyes. As we sing, brother. Come by. If you want to, shake hands with them. Tell them you're going to be praying for them. Shake hands one with another tonight. Let God help you tonight. Oh, yes. Somebody up here meant something to you. Oh, yes. Come on now. Oh, yes. Let them know you appreciate them tonight. Oh, thank God. Oh, praise His name.